dbkmediaservices.com.
You are listening to the SVC Sports Talk Podcast. SVC Sports Talk is brought to you by SVCSportZone.com. And now, here are your hosts, Shane Combs, John Bruce, and Bruce Knox.
Hello, everybody, and welcome in to show 308 in our season 10 of SVC Sports Talk. My name is Bruce Knox. Our show is brought to you by SVCSportsZone.com, as it always has been for all 308 shows. And we'd like to bring in the talking heads for this evening. First of all, we say hello to John Bruce. Mr. Bruce, how's it going?
Oh, it's going well, Bruce. Just getting hit with some seasonal allergies, which I'm excited to do because that means we've been outside for baseball. And, you know, I'd much rather have that than last year where I felt great at this time. Yep. But looking forward to another long week of baseball and tonight being back in the studio.
Yep. We're glad to have you. Let's also say hello to Shane Combs. Shane, how are you?
Doing great, guys. Busy week. We ended the week there with 6 games in 5 days with some pretty long road trips. So it was kind of nice to go to church today, have a little dinner with mom and dad, and then just kind of relax around the house here a little bit. But really excited about tonight's show. I think we have a good one. Talk some spring sports.
Well, I also want you to introduce a special guest that we have with us as well. Why don't you do that?
Yeah, when I look through the agenda tonight, and as always, we want to give a shout out to North Fork Animal Clinic, Advanced Services, and Pickaway Ross Career and Technology Center for their work with our high school kids as well as their adult programs. And as always, Bruce will give a shout out to each of those people throughout the show. So again, one more time, thank you, North Fork Animal Clinic, Advanced Services, and Pickaway Ross Career and Technology Center. As I look through the agenda tonight, guys, big thing on Twitter, email, text throughout the week, some different things about umpiring. Some different things about baseball, softball. So as I was reaching out as my Great Seal Sports, and I was talking to Gene Bumgarner this week, I asked Gene if he would come on. So Gene, I want to welcome you to the show here. I know most of our listeners from the spring will know Gene's obviously been a long, long time SVC baseball guy. He obviously had an SVC championship squad there at Piketon, SVC Coach of the Year. He's with Uniota now, but even in the baseball circle, he's probably even beyond the coaching, just as well known for being an ambassador of the game. What he's done in our junior high level, even for some of our college players. I know I've always appreciated all those different things. I know John does as well. I know I speak for all the baseball coaches. So Gino, as I welcome you to the show, appreciate you doing this. Just give kind of maybe an overview here in terms of all of what you're still involved in when it comes to baseball here in the Ross County area.
Well, Shane, first and foremost, I want to thank you and John and Bruce and your website for everything that you do for the SVC and surrounding baseball. Be quite honest, I kind of took a step back from being a head coach, and now I'm back to being an assistant coach there with Coach Taylor. I'm still running the Chillicothe area junior high baseball junior high baseball league, and then I'm still semi-recruiting for the Chillicothe Capitals, the college team that we have here locally that allows our local kids an opportunity to play and come home and live at home and work jobs.
Well, that's awesome. And, Coach, I know we have things all over the agenda tonight, some baseball, softball. So if you're free, we'd love to just have you stay with us here all evening, and we'll definitely get some of your thoughts as we move through the agenda here. So, Bruce, if you're ready to go, we'll just kind of follow your lead, and we'll talk a bunch of spring sports.
All right. Great to have you, Gene. I'm sure the check that you'll receive for being on the podcast will more than make up for lack of an evening. But we're glad to have you. you again. Shane, I thought right.
Appreciate it.
Okay. Shane, I thought right away we would maybe ask you for kind of an update as SVCSportsZone.com sort of goes through some transitions here.
Yeah, I appreciate everybody's patience. You know, last week we talked about some of the issues that we were having with our Yahoo site builder, and we thought for sure we were going to make it to the summer. We thought we were going to have that option, and unfortunately it hit us right here at the beginning of April. So as always, you're just flexible and you make it work so that you can still honor the kids just the same as you always do. So when you go to SVCSportsZone.com now and you refresh it, you basically come to what looks like a brand new site. It's kind of a temporary type of site. And we have a link for our SVC Sports Talk. We still highlight those sponsors. And then we have a baseball button at the bottom, a softball button, and a track button. So when you go to those, you're still going to those pages. You're still getting your same type of information. So you're getting your upcoming schedule. You're getting your standings. You're getting the same type of scoreboard that you've always been able to get, and as always, if coaches are highlighting their kids and sending those things in, we get them on there. If you are wanting to go back to the old website still exists. We just don't have the ability to edit those pages anymore. So that's why we're in this transition that we're doing. So for example, if you type in svcsportzone.com/ and you still know the address of the old page you want, say like 2021 baseball page, it will still take you back there. In fact, I've linked those now on the baseball, softball, and track pages. Now, once you're back there, you can still go all the way back through the website. So like if you're looking at past baseball pages, so you're looking for standings over the last 13 years of the website, that's there. Old stat pages, they're there. It's just a little tricky. So if you have any questions at all, please contact myself or John. He's pretty familiar with the website as well, and we will help you through that. And then I know Bruce will be giving out contact information later in the show. So I hope that makes sense. It's still there. We still want to cover the kids just the same. And that way we're not cheating the spring because, the one thing we've highlighted here is I feel like in our area maybe the spring sports have been cheated, particularly in the last 4 or 5 years. And that's where we take a lot of pride on our website and on our podcast show, making sure it doesn't happen here. So Bruce, I appreciate the opportunity to do that. Again, if people have questions, I know you'll give out some contact information here in a little bit.
We sure will. We sure will. And Shane, my heart goes out to you. It seems like technology always does that to you right at the busiest time of the year for you guys. I know with,
at least I wasn't busy this week with 6 games and 5 nights. You know, I mean, I had plenty of time to fix it up.
Yeah. Did you get any sleep this week at all? Not too much, I'm sure. Well, we're glad that you can, continue to highlight the kids, particularly in the spring. Like you said, it's always been kind of a submission of SVC Sports Zone to continue to provide that coverage, particularly in the spring when, as you say, it just seems like there's, not as much coverage from the mainstream media, if we want to call them that. So kudos to you for hanging in there and continuing to do that. We're first going to talk about Advanced Services Heating, Cooling, and Refrigeration. They're now over 20 years of serving Southern Ohio as one of the most trusted providers for heating and cooling services for your home and business. Yes, they do commercial. And whether it's installation, repair, or maintenance, their team is available 24/7 to respond in an emergency. You can call them at 877-947-4499. And set up a consultation today right there on the website as well. The Advanced Services website called AdvancedServicesHVAC.com. Again, the phone number 877-947-4499. One of our great sponsors here on the podcast for SVC Sports Talk. We may have alluded to this before a little bit, but we want to get into maybe one of the situations that popped up this past week, and I'm going to let Shane kind of explain this and lead the conversation. But the big issue this week may have been umpires. Is that correct, Shane?
Well, it was, and I kind of have a specific question for Gene and then one for John as well. And then the three of us will just kind of run with it and talk sports like we would anytime we're together.
Right.
I wanted to start with you, Gene. I think that, Friday night is where it got the most attention because I got a text from Coach Lockwood over at Southeastern saying, you know, hey, we didn't play tonight. We didn't have umpires. And I thought at first he had to be like joking with me or whatever. So I said, what? And he said, no. He's like, we warmed up for an hour and basically the two teams went home. So I guess this is something that draws a lot of attention because here's a regularly scheduled Friday night SVC game. The fact that you don't even have, a lot of times you'll run into having one or whatnot, and someone gets their signals crossed. In this case, they didn't have an umpire. And so I know this has been an ongoing issue really throughout the entire area. So I wanted to start with Eugene on this simple part of it. What is the challenge in terms that you found, again, trying to do all the junior high scheduling at the college level throughout the summer, and then obviously you've been involved in athletic administration, I have as well, and there's something about the spring season that's even more chaotic than the other parts. You know, is there something that you put your finger on in terms of the overriding issue? Is it numbers? Is it money? Is it a little bit of both? Just what's your opening thought on this particular topic?
Well, I've put a lot of thought to this, Shane, and I've come to the conclusion that this started about 5 years ago. Mm. We haven't had a class for baseball and softball umpires in 5 years.
Wow.
Now, I think there was a softball, but there was no baseball. So, we haven't had that. They're not teaching at the university up here. So that immediately, you know, a few years ago, because I always use those young guys to do the junior high. Mm. So when those lists weren't coming out, I started getting concerned that, you know, how are we going to fill it? Because a lot of the older guys don't want to go do junior high on Sunday because they do, like you just said, you know, six games in 5 nights, or maybe they're working 6 days a week with a doubleheader on Saturday. They don't want to give up their Sunday. You know, they got to mow the grass sometime. So, you know, the issue is we don't have a class, so we haven't had any new guys. And a lot of the, with COVID this spring, even though people are being immunized, a lot of the older, more mature umpires are still a little skittish about being out in the public. So, you know, that there creates a shortage. And then, you know, the assigning situation, and I'm not putting it all on him, but he didn't know we were even going to have a season. So how do you go ahead and schedule stuff out? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it was kind of a perfect storm for this spring. But, the only way I see out of this is the state is going to have to make it easier for people to get certified. I think, you know, we went to online meetings and everything else. Why can't these classes be online also?
Well, real quick, before I go over to John, I'll stay with you, Gene, in terms of you bring up two or three things I had in my notes. It's becoming harder and harder to become an umpire. There's a lot of cost in classes and gear and, you know, your equipment, your uniform, so forth, the upkeep of that. You're talking five. I know our league's at least tried to use some 5:15 start times. And then I guess I would even throw in, do you think there's some truth, even though this was a softball situation, do you think there's some truth of, man, I just assume go the softball route and the baseball route if I feel like I can work an hour less each night and get the, you know, the same type of pay. Do you think all of those things are fair?
All very fair. I think about it. I mean, you can go work for an hour, 15 minutes at a softball game and be home in time for supper and still make the $55. Or you can go do a two and a half hour baseball game and you're going to be there till dark. I mean, it's kind of a no brainer. A lot of these guys realize the game is shorter. The field is shorter. There's less running. So it just makes it so much easier to go over to that side of the field and to, officiate the softball.
Well, John, the question I had for you, I know you well enough to kind of know, I think, how you'll go with this particular thing. But at the JV level, you know, flexibility has to be at an all-time high. And at the end of the day, I can remember being, you know, at the junior varsity level, and you just want to play. In fact, I heard a story the other night. I laughed for 10 minutes. I couldn't stop laughing that our assistant JV coach put the catcher's gear on, was called balls and strikes in the first inning of a game because, again, both sides just wanted to play. You know what I mean? And then an umpire said, I said I'd have paid $20 to have that on the field just to archive it. But it was, you know, don't you think there's a little bit of that too in terms of the creativity at the younger levels? And I'm sure, you know, Gene goes through this at the junior high level, but not, but at the JV level, you have to see it all the time. Don't you think there's just a want to play, and at the JV level, we could maybe be a little bit more creative when it comes to saving some umpires?
Yeah, we've been pretty fortunate. We've lost out on two games with not having umpires. One was this past Friday also.
Now, when you say that real quick, I don't mean to interrupt. How late in the process did you know that?
The first time was about 3. Our bus was scheduled to leave about 3:45, and one of the kids came over and said, "Hey, I don't think they have umpires tonight." So I start like figuring things out because, you know, we don't want our bus driver to show up and think that, you know, they need to make that trip so they can get home and, you know, have their evening, but also for any of our parents that were maybe going to go there. So we want to try to find out by 3. The other time was, it was about 2:00, found out for sure that there were not officials. Now, Friday night, I was informed that we didn't have officials for our Saturday doubleheader. And then Mike White did some creative thinking with it, and then we thought we were going to have one official, and then we ended up having two, and the one that we originally going to have didn't even need to do it. So it's kind of, you almost never know on some of these things, but we've had two games with one umpire, and while that's, you know, obviously not ideal, but it's much better than not playing. And for me, and obviously with our kids, and I think I can probably speak for most, if not all, JV coaches, just we want to play. So
can I interject there for a second? One of the things that I worry about is if we don't start letting these kids play and figuring out a way to let them play, is we're going to lose our JVs. You know, I came up in an era where there was no JV baseball, and you'd have 25 kids on the varsity team. You know, if these kids don't get to play, they'll go to other sports, or they'll go to other things, and we won't get them back. And it will start affecting our varsity baseball programs. You know, you can't – kids don't want to play 6, 8, 10 games and do all the work that we ask them to do from February to June. It's just not fair to them.
No, I agree completely. And, in fact, I've got some more specific questions about that particular thing in the next segment. And I can't wait to ask you some of those questions. Now, before we have Bruce move on, though, I guess I would ask you, from your experience at the junior high level, one, Gene, how many sites are being operated, say, on a Sunday afternoon for a doubleheader? And on a scale 1 to 10, how much difficulty are you having in terms of getting those? Are you able to get them out in advance? Do you feel like all the way to Sunday morning you're scrambling? Like, tell us a little bit about that process.
Well, one of the things that people don't realize is when we started baseball, I think my oldest son's 30 now. He was in seventh grade.
Right.
There was only four teams. There was Adena, Zane Trace, Uniota, and I believe it was Huntington. Now everybody in the SVC, everybody in the FAC, SOC, they all those counties are now playing junior high baseball. So we're all drawing from the same pool of officials. So on any given night, on any given day, you know, we have seventh and eighth grade teams playing on fields, Ross County Park. This year they're not using the 757 field because they're doing upgrades, but so there's games everywhere. So to find officials, you have to be creative. I've told the guys, hey, grab high school kids, play the games, do the best you can to get a licensed official. But hey, these high school kids know the rules too. Put them out there. You know, maybe they might find out they like it and become officials after they graduate. So, you know, just
Like well, some of them might learn not to stand in the box after being caught out on third strike and get back to the dugout.
Well, that's true, too. They might appreciate what the umpire goes through a little more.
Well, I guess, John, I would ask you then. I mean, it'd be difficult, I guess, to do this at the varsity level. I guess you still have to have a little bit of, you know, procedure and protocol. But from the JV level down, then, do we agree that we've got to figure out a way to be more creative in getting our umpires and making sure that these games are getting played? I mean, we've seen over the years different scrimmage style things called. I mean, our league doesn't even honor a JV champion. Like, we've got to get these games played, don't we? That cannot be a reason not to play.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, you should see the kids' faces whenever I've told them. Like, it's kind of heartbreaking because it's like, can't we just get a dad to do it? Like, they just want to play. And, you know, it's – we got to find a way to get more officials available because this can't happen again next year. Like, we played – like, I'll go back to Saturday. We played Vinton County. They had only played 3 games so far. Like, we had played 8, 9, and we felt like we were pretty fortunate in that.
Right.
So it's just the kids aren't going to get better without playing in game situations. There's like you and like Gene said, it's, kids aren't going to stick with it if they don't see the light at the end of the tunnel. Now, even if that light is playing JV as a junior and having a chance on as a senior, like I've got a couple juniors this year that like they're so excited to be there every day because they missed out on last year. So they don't care. They don't care they're on JV because it's just, hey, we get to play baseball. And we need to make sure we do everything we can to make sure these kids keep that love of the game going by having games and having the opportunity to show what they've learned in practice. And yeah, it's something we can't lose because, you know, for some schools have a harder time getting the JV every year or having big numbers for it or being that competitive on it. But you might have a kid that shows that he can play because of the JV level. And, you know, maybe there's a kid that finds kind of a niche that they can fit into to help the varsity when they're a junior or senior. And that might just be from getting game time in JV. So it's something we have to keep. We have to do what we can to keep because it's vital for schools to have success. Yeah, it's not the end-all be-all because I know there's times when Adina Baseball didn't have a JV and they were still going to the regionals every year. But it certainly does help, especially in this day and age.
Well, I'll say this, Bruce. I have a bunch of different notes here on some of the comments that Gene and John have made, but I think it starts to cross over into our next section. So if you want to transition us into the next segment, I think that we can really take this discussion in a couple different directions.
All right. I'll be glad to. But Shane, as I've been sitting here, you know, taking in what you guys have talked about, I just and being more creative, a question came up to me, or, you know, when you start talking about pulling somebody, you know, off the bleachers to do it just to be a little bit more creative, given the general ugliness that society is experiencing right now, do you think you could really find somebody? I mean, you know, that dad that gets childed to come out and do it and first bang bang play that they have,
right?
You know,
yeah, I don't even know that. That's certainly a concern, and that's certainly also an option. I think I was probably even looking at more of if you have the resources. For some of the coaches or the assistant coaches, like I know I was joking about it, but like our JV assistant coach being able to get into a position to call balls and strikes.
Yeah.
I know a lot of times in scrimmages, and I would think at the JV level, this would be fine. A lot of times our pitching coach likes to call balls and strikes because in a scrimmage situation, he likes to be right out there in the ear of his pitcher. You know what I mean? It's one of those things where he can really coach in live action and so forth and trying to help. So I would think at the younger levels, if you could have that opportunity, that's not to say you still wouldn't have those ugly situations, but But again, I think having some of those people that are at least approved coaches or something like that, as Coach Bumgarner was saying there, with some of the kids at the junior high level, some of the high school kids, you'd like to think some of that. I know a lot of our kids go down on the Saturdays that we have off, and they work games at the Little League Diamond.
Yeah,
I think that's great experience. So yeah, I think you make a fair point there. There's a lot of concerns, but at the same time, I think it's still a path worth looking at just from the standpoint of the alternatives not playing.
All right.
Well, I will say, Bruce, going with what you said, what is going on now in society is part of the reason why people don't want to officiate.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what, you know, we're getting shortages even in football and basketball of guys saying, I've had enough, I'm gone. And, you know, if we're not replacing them with younger kids with classes and making it easier for people to become officials, I think society is going to play ourselves right out of not even having it.
I have had those same thoughts, Gene. That's you know, when you mentioned, and I didn't know what the compensation was, but when you mentioned $55, my thought was, you know, I would have to think whether it's worth it or not to do that kind of thing. So, and I'm thinking, you know, it has to go higher. Well, that just stretches the budget even more, and it's a big challenge, I think. I'm glad there are people like you three that think about these things all the time. So we'll move on then and talk more in moments along with our guest, Gene Bumgarner. First, we want to mention Pickway Ross Career and Technology Center. You've heard me talk about them before. Their adult education program really focuses on the fact that they offer in-demand career training in under a year. And all of their full-time programs are on Ohio's in-demand jobs list, so you can be placed after you complete your training. They offer training in health technologies, skilled trades, public safety, and, of course, IT. And remember that their full-time programs are financial aid eligible to those who qualify, just like regular colleges and universities. You can give them a call at 740-642-1288 or look at their website. Lots of good information there. I was there kind of perusing not too long ago at pickawayross.com. Pickaway Ross Career and Technology Center, their adult education programs, and we appreciate their continued support of the podcast and of the website as well. And just like Shane mentioned earlier, we're going to kind of segue on into just talking about the growth of baseball here. Shane, I'm going to let you continue your thoughts.
Well, I appreciate it, Bruce. I tell you, the being a middle school teacher for 21 years now, I see these guys all the time. I get these relationships built with these kids that are coming up through volleyball and track and baseball and softball and football and all these different things. Or maybe it's band, maybe it's drama. What all of these high school programs, we have such a difficulty of bridging our middle school kids into these programs. And a lot of these particular things, because of our community involvement, there's a little bit of some elementary type things. And I think with baseball, I don't know how you guys feel about it. I feel like we do it better at the Little League level than most. I think basketball, Little League, you've heard my soapbox there. I won't get into that in a spring show. The football is under a lot of debate. But you know, I think Little League baseball, from a standpoint of how we progress kids from coach pitch to pitching with some different rules and the size of the field, the size of the base pass, the size of the pitching mound, so forth, makes a lot of sense. The problem becomes at the junior high level. We've never been able to completely master. I know, like at a small school like Paint Valley, we've worked extremely hard to make sure that we're getting some of these kids. But what happens is they grow up playing so much baseball from the age of 5 to 12, track becomes a new thing. A lot of times, junior high baseball with facilities and different things, you're playing on Sunday. Well, if it rains two Sundays in a row, so now we've tried to start playing at least one or two single games throughout the week if we can get other fields. And, you know, Gene, you've put so much time into this. I think you certainly deserve the first comment on it. Like, what have you felt like's been the most positive thing, yet the thing that still just frustrates you to no end in terms about trying to get junior high baseball to completely take off even to another level from where it's at now?
Well, ironically, you say that. We are losing kids to track, but the reason why we started junior high was my son was being recruited to track. And I said that, you know, we got to find – I looked at Tony and talked to Ed Yates and talked to Ronnie Allen, and Sam Toppins was, I believe, was the coach at Huntington.
Right, yeah.
We were all sitting around talking. I said, guys, we got to find something. We're losing too many kids to track because Matt Paxton done such a great job of recruiting kids. You know, Andy came home and said, Dad, the track coach came to lunch today and was recruiting kids. I said, oh, we got to stop that. You know, you're not running track. You're slow and you're not going to let track. Yeah. So we started junior high baseball and, you know, it grew fast. It grew extremely fast. The problem I see, Shane, is the parents take on the cost of this.
Yes.
And, you know, we're asking the parents to pay – like you said, we're asking the parents to pay anywhere from $50 to $100 to play baseball, depending on the school and the situation. Well, then what happens when it rains two or three Sundays in a row? And they only get to play 3 weeks, 4 weeks. You know, how, you know, the parents start getting upset about the money issue. Then, you know, we started adding games through the week. Now we're dealing with, well, we can't find umpires through the week. So I think if the schools would take it over, it would be best. Now, that creates another problem. What fields are they going to use?
Right.
You know, there's so many problems that people don't realize baseball has to overcome that no other sport has to overcome because, you know, they build a gym. That gym's there for everybody, every level. So, and usually every school's got multiple gyms. So it's kind of a two-edged sword. Baseball has been great. It's really grown. It's given a lot of kids opportunities to bridge that gap and get used to the 60-90 field versus the smaller, 45-70 is what they do in Little League. So it's kind of, you know, it helps that. But then again, you know, a kid says, you know, why should I practice all week and just play on Sundays? And I can go over here and run track, and it's school funded, and all my friends are there, and there's girls there, and all those things. Right. You know, we can't compete with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, John, I was just curious your thoughts on, you know, with being at a bigger school. You know, you probably deal with two things that we don't deal with at the small school as much. And this is what I had in my notes to talk to you because, you know, I've been on record saying in basketball and baseball that I respect the heck out of what you do at your level because, as I've always said before, your best players don't want to play for you. You know what I'm saying? They would rather play for Coach Taylor.
Hey, and I don't want them to. Like I would rather them be playing varsity. Yeah.
Right. So I guess my question would be in terms of, you know, what kind of challenges have you seen over the years in terms of that really talented freshman that comes in that, quite frankly, would probably have a chance to, you know, start JV at every other school in the league and maybe even compete for an eighth or ninth spot in some years at a varsity level that maybe is trying to struggle to get in to your top nine? And then when they look over at track, a lot of times there's an opportunity to maybe look at a more skill specific type of sport, you know, where they can maybe look to do a particular thing. What's been the dynamic in terms of you seeing a kid come out of the eighth grade into the ninth grade and you kind of looking at them to come to your program versus them making that decision in terms of which way to go?
Well, I just try to, if anyone comes to me, it's just like, do what you enjoy. Like, if you love baseball, we're going to find a place for you to play, and especially on the JV level. Like, you're going to get at-bats. You're going to get innings in the field. We're going to see, and maybe as a freshman or sophomore, you just realize, man, that's not going to be a spot I can go. So maybe they go to track after that. Or maybe they enjoy it even more because they find their specific skill and what they can do. And, you know, that helps build them up to be able to play at the next level, even if it's as a late inning defensive replacement or a pitcher only, or even if it's as a pinch runner. Like we've had kids the last few years that's pretty much their position on the varsity is you're going to be a pinch runner in a big situation. So that's something where, you know, kids don't necessarily want to hear that. So maybe you can say it to where, hey, here's something at the very least you can do. Like, because we're going to find a role for you. Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, we're in track. If they say they're going to go run track, well, if you're one of the fastest first four fastest kids, you're probably going to be running on the 4x1. So you're definitely going to have at least one event you're doing, and it kind of goes on. So it's where in track, you can kind of specifically say, hey, this is what you're doing. Baseball, we're trying to find different ways to incorporate someone to where they can do multiple things on the field, where there might be someone might just be a sprinter, someone might just be a thrower. Because like Gene, you mentioned with Andy, he probably wasn't going to be a sprinter, but he might have been able to be a thrower. Where in Correct. Baseball, yeah, in baseball you can hit, play defense, maybe pitch.
Paxton was, hey, you know, my dad's a baseball coach, right?
Yeah.
Now, guys, here's what we run into, you know, at the smaller school a lot of times is, you know, throughout junior high and JV, we've really encouraged the two-sport athlete. We've really encouraged, hey, you know, we'll work with you, you know, because we've tried to take a lot of pride in always having a junior high team and a JV team. And a lot of times to do that, you got to be a little bit creative. In fact, I've been coaching for 26 years now, and then this is my, I don't know, 14th or 15th head coaching year. And I actually have a first time this year. I have a top nine kid in Cole Miller who is doing both track and baseball, and track's actually his A sport. It's the first time I've ever had a top nine kid who has been a track A sport. And, you know, that's been a tricky balance for that young man, but he's a terrific kid. He's a terrific athlete. You know, we've been without him a couple times, you know, two, three times this year, including some league games and so forth. And that's not ideal, but, you know, I feel like he's still representing our school. You know, he's out the other night, we played without him, and he you know, missed meet medalist by like 1 point. You know what I mean? He comes back the next night and he's starting an SVC game on the mound. It's a phenomenal effort on his part. And I guess that brings me to the balance of all this. I think we all look at kids and be like, hey, if you're out running track instead of playing baseball, that's fine, because we feel like you're doing something to better our school. The dynamic that gets tricky here, Gene, is when they start getting involved in these off-season type programs. And maybe you can comment on summer baseball with the way football and basketball off-season demands have started to come. Or on the softball side, you'll constantly see – all you got to do is go through Facebook and you'll see it all weekend long. You got softball kids playing in AAU basketball tournaments or club volleyball tournaments or so forth. That's a tricky thing. And to be quite honest, at the small school – If you don't blend a little bit of that modern day athlete into your program, you're going to have a hard time consistently putting a competitive product on the field. I just wondered your thoughts on balancing the kids that are trying to do two and three things at one time.
Well, I've been blessed to be in three different programs. I was started at Northwest way back in the 90s when we didn't deal with all this stuff. Then I came to Uniota, which is a bigger school, lots of athletes. And then I've been a head coach at Piketon, where it's like Paint Valley and Southeastern and some of these other schools. There's only so many athletes in the school. Mm-hmm. So I had to change my thought process because I came from old school. And if you want to be a baseball player, be a baseball player. If you want to run track, go run track. Well, then I started getting kids that were extremely fast, good distance runners in cross country coming to baseball too. And they said, coach, why can't I do both? So we had to figure out, and that takes it's really tough because both coaches really need to be on the same page with that. Mm-hmm. And if it's working for you, Shane, God bless you both, because I've had coaches that I've dealt with coaches that weren't, team-minded. You know, they've got a one-track mind, and then I've been with guys who, hey, let's do what's best for the kid. At the end of the day, we got to do what's best for the kid. And now we're looking at all these multi-athletes and kids are doing everything, which that's a whole other segment or a whole other night of talking. Is I think some of these kids are pulled in too many different directions. But as far as dealing with that, it makes it really tough. And in the summer, it's even worse because, like you said, a football offseason is we're going to lift weights in the spring. We'll get together and throw the football around. And then in the summer, we start getting ready for our season. Basketball, you've got AAU, you've got summer workouts, you've got summer leagues, and then you got fall workouts. Baseball, we have baseball season. We get summer baseball, hopefully. And then maybe the baseball-only kids will go play fall baseball. In the summer, our summer kids are pulled in so many different directions. Summer baseball tends to be the one sport they give up. And I think that we get shortchanged as baseball coaches. And it's not the basketball and football coaches' fault. It's just the nature of the beast that's developed. And now this year, it's unlimited. You know, in the past, basketball had 10 days, football had 10 days. Now, because of COVID, it's unlimited. You know, right. I mean, what do you do now? If you don't go and you look at schools like a Wheelersburg, who's always all three sports are always really good. Why? Because the football has till noon every day. Basketball has from noon to the afternoons. They'll do their stuff. And yes, they still have their evening shootouts and things like that, but kids are still able to go play baseball, and they do. And you know, again, you need coaches that work together and to make sure that a well-rounded athlete is developed in all three areas.
What can you tell us about, you know, again, I know we're baseball guys and we probably have a tendency to look at it through the lens of baseball. What can you tell us about the growth of softball in here? I know, you know, some different ballparks and some different things have done a lot of reconstruction. There's softball leagues growing at different age. Travel softball is growing big time. And let's face it, outside of volleyball and probably baseball, I think softball is probably I think softball probably could start to creep into that discussion in terms of, you know, the most consistent sports that seem to always compete at a high level outside of our league. And, you know, what's been your thoughts on the growth of softball and as an athletic administrator over the years, just in terms of how it's started to grow as well?
Well, I think the biggest thing with softball is the fact that they've develop these indoor facilities where they can actually play games. Now you can play all winter long. You know, before softball was a spring summer sport, maybe a little bit in the fall, and they put it away and they either played volleyball or they played basketball or, you know, whatever. They did some, maybe went to a hitting league or something, but now they play games year round. You know, that's the advantage they have. So softball can stay together. They can, you know, especially these travel teams. And now I've seen where some of these, you know, always before the elite baseball teams would get together and they'd travel down south. Well, now you're seeing softball teams do this. I mean, it's just exploded. Now, do I like it? Sometimes I think kids need a break. You need to develop, get your mind off of one thing and go enjoy something else. Allow your body to heal. Go use different muscles. I'm a fan of multi-sport athletes. I think kids need to play and be active and do what, like Johnny says, do what you love. Mm-hmm. I've never told a kid not to play a sport, even when I coached All-American. You do what you want to do. You're only right. a kid once, and you're only in high school for 4 years, hopefully. So,
right. Well, I had one more thought for you, and then I'll come back to John with one here, and that's to cover track a little bit. We touched on this earlier, the positive, negative. You know, a lot of times I see it as a junior high teacher, kids are almost intrigued by track. You don't really grow up with little league track. You know what I'm saying? Like, or, you know, these kids get to junior high. The junior high's kind of baseball, softball kind of set up in a way where it's on the weekend or it's random scheduling or whatever. So they certainly can do both at the small school. And track becomes the new toy, the new thing. Like, hey, I've never tried this before. And again, if you're a distance runner or a sprinter or a thrower, there's a lot of different areas for a kid to kind of maybe pique an interest a little bit. When you, in all your years as an athletic administration and looking at the junior high level, do you see that a little bit as a positive for the growth of track, that the fact that they almost aren't even introduced to it until the seventh grade?
Well, it's a definite, they don't get the burnout. That's part of the problem with baseball too, is sometimes they play so many games, they're burned out. So by the time they get to junior high, they don't want to play anymore, but definitely by the time they get to high school. But with track, it's all new. And I don't know about other schools, but we have the Pied Piper of track at Unio, the high school. This guy just, he's constantly recruiting kids, and he takes those kids that don't have anything else or they don't belong in any other, and he draws them in almost like a family, and the guy just develops winners. I mean, you can't argue with what he does. He's a great coach, does a great job. And you're right. He introduces them to say, hey, have you ever thought about running track? No. Well, come to practice and see what you think. And the next thing you know, the kid's running in a state cross country meet, you know, winning, right. Making all state. And he was just a little 75-pound kid in seventh grade that played peewee football, was too small for junior high football and didn't have anywhere to go. And he just seems to just excel at that. But what I love about track is there in baseball, you can only play nine. In basketball, you can only play five. But if we have a dual meet, I can run 40 kids. Everybody gets to compete. So, and everybody gets to practice and everybody gets, you know, so the positive to that is, again, like I said earlier, I like to see all kids involved.
Right.
Now, am I selfish? I want the best baseball players coming to baseball. But that's not always, you know, going to happen. They need to do something.
Well said. My last question, Bruce, before we leave this segment was for John, because I was taking some notes here as Gino was giving that answer. And the word that jumps out at me is burnout. I feel like every American boy tries a little T-ball, a little league or whatnot. And from the age of 5 up to 12, just plays and plays and plays a ton of baseball. And that's great. But at the same time, I think there is a little bit of that burnout, and I think that's a little bit of they're overwhelmed when many of them are not physically ready at the age of 13 for the increased dimensions of the diamond and so forth. And then I start to see it in softball too, more and more kids. I see it with some of the high level high school players. I mean, it's unbelievable to think the amount of softball they've played in the summer. So I guess my question for you would be, growing up, being around the game that you love as much as you have in your entire life, have you seen this with your peers and in terms of how the number went from little league to junior high to high school, and then even kids that, you know, have continued to follow the game after? Do you feel like the summer aspect, the growth of other sports, all of the different demands, do you feel like because baseball was played so much at the younger age, that's why so many kids stepped away from it? Or do you think there's some other factors that maybe I'm missing?
Well, I think it's a big thing. I had a buddy in high school who was really, really talented. He was really good at every sport he did anyway, but he had a chance to be a really good baseball player. Well, it didn't come as easy, and he just wasn't having as much fun, because when he was 13 was when they started doing big time travel ball. And so his whole summers from 13 to 15 were playing baseball, and he just kind of got burned out. And I think he wanted to try it when he got to high school, and he was just like, this is just not for me. And then he goes and is a regional qualifier in track. So, you know, it's something that is true. Like, we have a kid that played basketball for me this year who would be one of our better freshmen, hasn't played since he was 12 because he's just – he's tired of baseball because of how much they played when he was younger. Now, we're working on him, trying to get him to come back for the future. But it's just one of those things where, you know, you can't make a kid do something that they've lost the passion for because we've done it so much. And I just don't know. I don't know if it would have been different for me when I was playing, if I wasn't playing down at Cider Valley and, you know, we had the end of the season tournament, but it was only like one or two. It wasn't like we went and did a ton of stuff, where now it's, okay, you play for Cider Valley, then you go and play on an all-star team within Cider Valley throughout the week when you're not playing actually in the league. And then at the end of the season, you have multiple tournaments to go then. Man, it's just, it's a lot. And I think part of my love for baseball was being able to do it not sporadically, but doing it on a normal schedule. And then I got to do all of my other stuff that I wanted to do, you know, at a normal time. And even going back to Shane, when you're in high school, there's a big group of kids that played summer ball that after their sophomore year just decided, hey, we're not going to play next year, because they played almost 100 games during the summer. Mm-hmm. So Uniota goes to the Final Four, and then five or six of those kids don't even play summer ball after their junior year because they were just burnt out from it. They still love the game, but
yeah, I think that's a great point. I think that I look back to late 80s, early 90s coming up in Little League in the junior high, and man, I bet when I was 12, even then, I bet we played north of 50 games by the time we went to all of our tournaments and all-stars and all those different things. So I think that's an interesting thing. Kids obviously have a lot more options now, and it impacts the growth of all of our sports. So good stuff. I mean, I know we went a little different way there tonight, Bruce, in those first two segments. This last segment will certainly give us a chance to still mention a lot of kids, which is what SVC Sports Talk is all about. But I still think there's a place for those types of discussions when these types of things come up, and certainly have been in the news here recently.
All right. Thanks, guys. Some interesting conversation there on the status of baseball and softball and track and all kinds of things. I want to mention North Fork Animal Clinic, boarding and grooming, located at 2260 Anderson Station Road in Chillicothe. Dr. Blake Lloyd and his staff can be found there, and they take care of all your small pet needs. You can give them a call at 740-773-7387. If you're new to the community and you have a new puppy or are thinking about finding a veterinarian, they'd ask that you contact them. They'd like to get to know you and your pet. Then stop in for a visit. That's North Fork Animal Clinic, boarding and grooming. Telephone number 740-773-7387. You can look them up on the web as well at northforkanimalclinic.com. All right. So this Wednesday, I understand, marks the turn of the spring season to the second half. It doesn't seem like we've been playing all that long, guys. Time's going past quickly here. So I wanted to kind of give you an opportunity to mention kids as we normally do here. And we're going to talk, first of all, just about, as you've witnessed this season, what individuals are standing out to you. John, you want to go first with this?
Yeah, I'll start with baseball, where you look at the league where you think of the Brock Blantons, Lucas Blackburn, Jarrett Garrison, Gavin Free, Cameron and Carson DeBoard. You know those names. Those are names you knew were coming back from their sophomore years, you know, having really good careers so far. So those kids were kind of known commodities, and they're doing what you expect out of them. And mm-hmm. then you have some other ones like Peyton Weiss. I believe that's how you say it. It's Weiss or Weiss, from Westfall, through a no hitter or struck out 19 against Southeastern the other day. Like 19. That's insane. Mm-hmm. You know, only a junior, big kid, you know, good fastball, really good control, is one that's really stood out for Westfall in their 5-1 start in the SEC. Carter Glandon for Adina is another kid who I think's had a really good start to his junior year. You know, the catcher and two-hole hitter for the for the Warriors does a lot of things really well from the catcher position. And that's something that we've harped on this show before, on how important the catcher position is. Connor Free of Paint Valley, we talked about him last week, where seems like he's kind of evolved as an athlete to where he's really been an important member of you know, a lot of different things for the Bearcats. And then at Uniota, there's a couple. I mean, there's several of the young kids that have really stood out. But Micah Geise, our leadoff hitter, he's just been outstanding, especially offensively, where he can make so many different things happen with his speed and his ability to hit to all fields. And then Andrew Leemaster, a kid who's hitting in the 8-hole for us, is hitting around 500 right now. And when you look at different places across the league, that's something that's not happening at the bottom of the lineup. And I think that's really commendable to him. So for baseball, those are my five that really have stood out beyond the kids that we fully expected.
All right, Shane.
Yeah, I think when I look through, I love John's theme of you kind of knew, like when you go right to the top of the standings. I like the way he said that. You kind of knew that both the boards were going to be incredible and have great years, but it's kind of the breakout, you know, of a Geise, or you know, you get the depth of Uniota. Remember, I made the comment after coaching against Uniota early in the year. I just felt like they were just going to be able to baseball you to death, you know, 5 through 15 on their roster. So even beyond their best players, like, you know, the Spetnagel kids, there was a no hitter the other night, and, you know, Daly's been so good for them. And, you know, it's just, you know, it's just the ongoing depth, the way they can go at any part of their order. And I think that's been a big factor. The Patterson kid's been terrific. So I think that you get that. And then you said it with Westfall too. You knew Blackburn coming in, but the way Weiss has thrown the ball has been a huge pick me up for Coach Thomas. And then the two kids at the top of the lineup, mm-hmm. with Walters and Williams, the way they can really go there. So that really sets a tone at the top of our league. And I won't be repetitive. You said a lot of things. I mean, obviously on the Paint Valley side, I as his coach, I should mention that Dax Easteps, you know, 14 games in the year and still hitting north of 600. He's had just an incredible year. Trent Mettler's another kid that's had a nice year for us. But the Huntington's the one group I wanted to mention. You know, Huntington's a team that when I coach against them, scouting them and then coaching against them, they're probably right in the mix for being a top half. And I know they're a D4 team this year, so they're going to be locked and loaded in a dangerous, dangerous team. So, yeah, there's a lot of depth to the baseball league, but I certainly think as we make the turn, there's been two, maybe three teams sticking their nose in there that's going to go. I think what's even more interesting, guys, is over on the softball side. Mm-hmm. The softball, with the way they beat up on each other, I mean, I pull up the standings here, and I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 teams at the halfway point. I don't think that's normal. You know what I'm saying? Like, but don't you think it fits, you know, what volleyball was and what girls basketball was? It's just kind of where our girls athletics are. And when I look down through there, the offense around the league is phenomenal. And mm-hmm. it's even you know, when you look at even a Scott and a McCall and some of those kids, and Zane Trace that's all the way down there in the 6-hole right now, they're capable of getting someone some night. You know what I mean? They pitch well enough. They both could hit a home run or whatever, and they put themselves right in a dogfight. In fact, I believe they beat Huntington early in the year. That was one of their losses. So, you know, obviously with Kello there at Huntington, you know, she makes them tough. But, you know, but Gene, I'll certainly give you a chance to comment some on the baseball side. But, I mean, to me, the softball, the league is the one that's really, really intriguing. As we make the turn here, you literally have five teams that it's still a realistic goal for them to compete for an SVC title. So Gene, on that thought, I mean, I know obviously you've seen everybody. Who you guys have tomorrow? Huntington? So you've seen Huntington, everybody in person, but Huntington? So Huntington, what just some of your thoughts on the baseball league?
Well, sitting, you know, obviously, you know, I call the pitches, so I get to, I try to scout out these hitters. And
sure.
I tell you what, 1 through 5, everyone seems to have pretty solid hitters, 1 through 5. It's the top upper echelon of teams is the 6, 7, 8, 9, you know, and, you know, some of those teams are, you know, it's really hard to get through. Now, everybody has one good pitcher all the way through the league. So, and on any given night, if you catch that guy, you know, you've got a problem because now you're playing a 3-2, 2-1 ball game, and, you know, now there's no room for error. So, you know, and again, you know, you and I have talked many times about this. There are 8 solid baseball coaches in our league. There is not a bad coach one in our league. So they're well coached. And then, you know, we tend to get everybody's A game, and which what we like, because that forces us to play. But, you know, there's some kids that, you know, down in that bottom of those lineups, when they start hitting the ball, you know, like the Huntingtons and the Paint Valleys down in D4, we're going to see quite a few teams, I think, in the later districts and possibly the regionals this year when it comes time for tournament.
Well, let's take a look here at the next thing on the agenda, major things that you think will stay the same. So, John, if I were to ask you to think back from the first half of the league, this could be baseball, softball, whatever, and you were to look ahead, what would you pick out as one of the major things that you think would stay the same?
I think the offensive numbers will stay going in the softball league. I think where you mentioned some of those teams, just the really talented offensive teams, but you have like a Dina, you know, they have a freshman, Kiara Williams. It's a grand slam the other night to beat Uniota. They've got the minor girl who we've talked about a lot. They've just got a depth of athletes, and the same with Uniota, where they just keep coming at you. We've talked about the Zane Trace offense. You mentioned McCullough and Scott, and they're another one. They put up a lot of numbers. Westfall always has a really good offense. So I think at least for this year, I think the offensive output in the softball league will probably stay the same. I think on the baseball side, I think the big thing you're going to see, you know, maybe that'll go into the thing that'll change. But I think you're going to see a lot of really competitive games, especially Monday and Friday. You know, sometimes if a team doesn't have the right pitching matchup, you still will see games that are kind of lopsided. But I do think when the aces are on, I think you're going to see some really competitive games.
Gene, what's your thought on something that you're pretty confident that it's going to remain the same throughout the rest of the year?
I think pitching, both in the softball and in the baseball. The one thing about the pitching in the baseball that people don't understand is the new pitch count and how much that affects and how coaches have to be able to juggle that. If you can figure out a way, or if you have the depth to juggle that, then I think you can stay in the top half of the league. But I do think, you know, there's solid pitching on the girls' side, and there seems to be – right now it's just the pitching is phenomenal, what I'm seeing on the baseball side. I know a lot of runs are being scored, but pitching, you know, that means guys are throwing strikes, and, you know, that doesn't always happen in years past.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think as I look at things stay the same, I guess I have to look at the softball because of the pitching. I feel like, you know, it doesn't matter. Like the other night when umpires don't show up, you know, I said that, you know, the one thing that is good for softball is if that happened in baseball, that could mess someone's schedule up for like the next 5 days. Where in softball, you know, hey, Friday night it was going to be Kello versus Richendahler. If they played Saturday, it was going to be Kello versus Richendahler. If they play next Wednesday, it's going to be Kello. You know what I'm saying? Like, we know who's pitching. So, like, it's one of those things that because the pitching is what it is, you know that everybody enters tomorrow night. We're recording here on Sunday. Everybody enters tomorrow night. They have 8 league games left. And in softball, unless you have an unfortunate injury, you can pretty much guess who you're going to see each time. Where, you know, in baseball, it's sometimes the luck of the draw. I know last week, Paint Valley Huntington did not play on a Monday night. Everyone else did. And that you know, that's a factor. You know what I mean? It's a situation that moves some pitch counts around and so forth. So, guys, I want to go to the last thing, and I'll start here because I want to throw some different things out. I think you touched on it, Gene. Major things you think will change. I think the biggest thing that will change in on the baseball side is I think some of the young catchers will grow, and I think some of the bottom half of these lineups will start to grow to where, let's face it, man, a lot of the bottom half of the league teams had three or four hitters that were just absolutely overwhelmed. I mean, you come out and you get in the wrong Monday, Wednesday, Friday. You know, I mean, I know we've had some young kids at Paint Valley come out and see the board, Weiss, Garrison, Free. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. You know, it's one of those where, like, hey, welcome to varsity baseball. You know, so I think the young catcher position, as well as some of the bottom half of the lineups, will improve. And I think that's where some of the overall product of SVC baseball will get better and better into the second half. I guess that could be true in softball, too, at the bottom half of their lineups. But again, I think that the pitching consistency is maybe a little bit more. So John, your thoughts on things changing in the second half?
Well, like you mentioned, with those kids seeing, you know, varsity pitching for the first time and some of the varsity new catchers, I think you're going to see a better product on the field, because I also think defense is going to get better, because I think that's where, yes, you know, you've got kids that, with what Gene said, kids are putting the ball in play because there's strikes being thrown. Well, sometimes kids aren't fielding the ball, or kids aren't able to make the not necessarily spectacular play, but to kind of go above and beyond and make really good plays, because they're just not used to not just the speed of the game, but the speed the ball's coming off the bat. And I think the adjustments will be made defensively, and that'll just make it – I think that'll cut down some of the runs scored in the baseball games where, you know, in softball where, you know, a lot of these teams are hitting bombs. So that part, I think pitchers are going to make some adjustments there as well. And, I think you're going to see a better brand of baseball and softball.
Yeah, you almost wonder in softball if the thing's going to change. You know, you're going to stop throwing to certain hitters. You know what I mean? Like, right, in terms of now, some lineups, again, as Gene said earlier, some lineups can protect. You know, it's probably a lot harder to walk an Avery Miller than it is, say, a Kylie Kelly, because I'm sure, you know, certain lineups, you know, protect those hitters a lot more with more and more, you know, threats throughout the, you know, top to bottom. Gene, I certainly don't want to shut you out here. The other thing I had in my notes, I was wanting to get your comment on, with the COVID situation, a lot of these kids not getting their JV baseball last year, and us scrambling to try to catch up so fast in the preseason this year, don't you think things like I have down bunt coverage, first and third defense, and just making the routine play, don't you think a lot of those things will just hopefully naturally get better into the second half of the year for baseball and softball? Well,
they have to, because, you know, honestly, we're still trying to teach those things.
Right.
You know, we're basically – we tell each other every day when we start getting frustrated, we're coaching a JV team that basically missed JV baseball. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody, except for your elite sophomores, every junior down was either a JV player or in junior high.
Right.
So they, and that's nothing against the JV coaches, but I mean, I know in our situation, we got one guy. He can't teach everything. So, you know, he does a great job and we try to practice together, but in game situations, he can't push every button. It's almost impossible. I mean, he's great, but he's not that great.
I disagree.
But, you know, yeah, I think you're right. I think the more we play, the more we get to practice, you know, now, you know, with this new, where they stretch the season out an extra week, you can get more practice time in. You can teach the first and thirds. You can go over game situations you had the night before, you know, all those things. But now, one thing we haven't spoken about is Mother Nature. She can throw a wrench in the whole thing, and we're playing five league games in a week.
Yep.
Now there is no time to teach. So, you know, like this week, we got five games this week, but we're not playing on Saturday. So, you know, the weather can change everything. You know, like you said, softball, they got, you know, who's throwing no matter what. Baseball, if we have to play five league games in a week by Thursday and Friday, we may be calling up JV outfielders to pitch. Who knows? You know, it's just the nature of our game.
Mm-hmm. No, I think that's some good stuff. You know, Bruce, I know we said earlier that you give out some contact information. If you want there, we'll give everybody a chance for a final thought.
All right. Well, so much we've talked about tonight. You'd like to get your input as a listener of the podcast. And if you'd like to impart that input, you can do so through email at admin1@svcsportzone.com to contact Shane. John Bruce's email is jbruce1018@yahoo.com. Both guys, of course, Twitter stars. Shane at his handle, SVC Sports Zone. And John, the infamous Coconut Wall Papa, is also available on Twitter. And Gene likes that. That's cool. On Facebook, Shane maintains two profiles, Shane Combs, SVC Sports Zone, and SVCSportsZone.com. You can also call our DBK Media Services voicemail system, 740-569-3254. And as always, we ask that you share our information on Facebook and retweet it on Twitter and maybe favorite it there as well. And if you're listening to us on iTunes, you can give us a good review and maybe a great rating. So that's the contact information for you, Shane.
Well, and in terms of my final thought, I'll kind of go first and let you guys have a crack at it, and then I'll close this out. But I think you touched on the weather there. We haven't had a lot of weather. I know most baseball teams are probably only down a game. Softball, baseball, probably about down a game, maybe, if that. You know, so we've been pretty fortunate. If that would start to hit hard, I don't know how much it would affect the baseball or the softball race, but it would certainly impact the baseball race. You know, we've seen a little bit of Uniota's pitching depth there. I think they would be probably the most equipped to handle the three or four straight nights. But again, that's one of those interesting dynamics that we have not had that we usually do have. And then the last thing in my notes is, this is the time of year where the track gets really quiet. You know, the track people are secretive. They, you know, they don't want to give away their relay teams, and they're checking out times and, you know, who's in this event and who's in that event. And I always get a kick out of that, the strategic part of track, in terms of trying to move up and down and getting yourself ready, not only for the SBC, but the district as well. So we'll certainly pick our track coverage up here over the next couple weeks. So guys, that makes my note. It's clear. Gene, I can't thank you enough for joining us. It's just kind of a nice touch, especially with some of the topics we had this week. Just your final thoughts on getting to join us this week.
Well, I really appreciate the opportunity, Shane. You know, I listen to you guys quite often. I appreciate everything you guys have ever done for, you know, you're not just baseball, but, you know, all the athletes in the SVC. I know the kids talk about it. They're on the website a lot. So hopefully we can get that lined out. Again, I appreciate the opportunity. And anytime I can sit down and talk sports, you know me, I'm going to be able to do that. And I'll always give you my opinion. So I appreciate it.
Absolutely. And again, baseball wise, anytime I get a chance to publicly thank you for all you have done for the sport. Again, as I said earlier, I've coached high school baseball at some level for 26 springs. Every spring I've been out of high school, I've been involved in high school baseball. So I know I speak for a lot of people when I say thank you for all that you have done for the sport here locally and really throughout the state in terms of your state association and so forth. On that note, John, a final thought from you as we, I guess, make the turn Wednesday night and we're into the second half of spring sports.
Yeah, I'm just hoping to be able to keep having games at the lower levels. And I hopefully the umpire situation doesn't affect many more varsity games. It was rough to see it affecting one. You know, hopefully that can get ironed out. And if it doesn't, hopefully it's just this spring. Because if you're listening out there and want to get involved, that's something big time that we need in our area. And it's a good way to stay involved in the game. So just looking forward to this week, really looking forward to that snow on Wednesday. We haven't had it recently, so we need some more of it.
Well, guys, on that note, we'll get out of here. Bruce, can't thank you enough. I know a lot of times we have some
technology issues here and there recording, and then when the show comes out, you would never know it. And that's where Bruce makes us at least sound like we know what we're doing, because you know, oftentimes we don't. So, guys, on that note, we'll get out of here. Check out the website there. Again, if you just go to the bottom of the new page there, you can follow all three spring sports in the night-to-night results. And we'll look forward to patching up some of these problems and continuing to cover our SVC athletes. So, as always, we will try to keep it 100% SVC 100% of the time.
You've been listening to the SVC Sports Talk Podcast. SVC Sports Talk is brought to you by SVCSportsZone.com. Join us next time for SVC Sports Talk and visit SVCSportsZone.com, where we're 100% SVC 100% of the time.